You're listening to a Here's Hope America Hope Chest audio sermon. This sermon is entitled, As in the Days of Noah, and is taken from the scripture passage of Matthew chapter 24, verses 37 through 38. The sermon was given on May 5th, 2015, at the First Baptist Church of Perryville in Perryville, Missouri. The speaker is Pastor Jay Scribner, Executive Director of Here's Hope America.
Tonight we're going to look at a message entitled, As in the Days of Noah. As in the Days of Noah. Keep your Bibles real handy because we're going to be looking at several verses actually. And we're just going to let God unfold this thing for us. As in the days of Noah. Now, this is something I think everybody can identify with. And I don't mean by any stretch of the imagination to be gross with this illustration. I just think it's something everybody can identify with. Have you ever gone to a public restroom and when you were in need of the toilet paper, you looked there and the roll was down to about, and you start to unroll it, and it unrolls real fast and finally gets to the end in about no time. You ever been there? Well, you know what? That's where we are spiritually. I'm telling you, things are unrolling real fast. And we're about to the end. That's where we are spiritually. And that's what I want to talk to you tonight about. It's a message about the end times. Now, not real long ago, I used to say when I was preaching that someday Jesus Christ is going to be coming back, and I think it'll be soon. Well, let me tell you something. It's gotten to the place where I look for His return any hour, not just any day. I'm telling you, things are unfolding and unrolling real fast. I heard about a farmer who tucked his kids in bed one night. And then he sat up to watch the late night news. And shortly after that, he went to bed. And about the time that he was almost asleep, he heard the grandfather clock in the hallway starting to chime and strike the hour. Something happened to the old grandfather clock and it went haywire. And it struck 13. And the farmer jumped out of bed. And he goes running through the house saying, "Get up! Get up! It's later than it's ever been before!" Well, let me tell you something. That's the message for tonight. Get up. Wake up. Because it's later than it's ever been before. I want to share a message with you entitled, As in the Days of Noah. Let me read that to you from Matthew chapter 24. And again, keep your Bibles handy as we walk through this tonight. Verses 37 and 38, and this is Jesus speaking, and he says, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, They were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Now, I want to share four things with you. And again, tonight it's really going to be more of a teaching we had the last couple of nights. And hopefully we can all learn some things together. And let me give you these four things. The second point tonight is somewhat lengthy. I'll explain that to you when we get to it in just a moment. Let me encourage you, as I have the last couple of days, that if you can find a blank sheet of paper and a pen or pencil, it would be good to take notes, again, especially on point number two, so that you can do some of your own study. But four things I want to share with you as in the days of Noah. Number one, the prophecy revealed. Now, let me give you some other scriptures which need to claim our focus in order to understand what Jesus is indicating here. The first one is Luke chapter 17, and this is a companion passage to the one in Matthew. Luke chapter 17, verses 26 and 27. And here's what they say. And as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Alright, that's Luke 17, verses 26 to 27. Next, 2 Peter chapter 2. I'm just giving you the prophecy being revealed here, and so I'm giving you some companion focal passages for your own study. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 9. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell, and deliver them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness. Have at it, Cason. Bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly, and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. For that righteous man, dwelling among them, tormented his righteous soul from day to day, by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. And then finally, Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 through 11. Now let me recap what we just read in 2 Peter chapter 2. Because Peter says that there were times in the history of the world that God brought judgment. Say that word with me. Judgment. You think God's capable of doing that in this day and age? Amen. Go like this. You better believe he is. Now there's a whole lot of people. They don't really care. They will someday. But they don't now. We'll see that here in just a few moments. Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 through 11. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing, and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. And Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. All right, these focal passages. Now, we're going to be looking at some other scriptures as we go through tonight, but these are the focal passages that we want to look at. And I'm just saying that as it says here in Matthew chapter 24 and as it says in Luke chapter 17, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the time of the return of Jesus Christ to this earth. That's the prophecy revealed. Now here's the second thing, and that is the panorama returns. The panorama returns. As it was, so shall it be. Say that with me. As it was, so shall it be. Say it again. As it was, so shall it be. One more time. As it was, so shall it be. Jesus is speaking. And he says, as it was, so shall it be. I want to show you some frightening parallels. I'm going to give you 12 of them, and so consequently, I'm not going to be able hardly to do any commentary with it. And I don't know that I'll have to. These are things that are parallels, and they're almost frightening. They are blatantly portrayed by our culture. It's sort of an in-your-face type of scenario, in which you'd have to be blind not to see. So let me give you these factors, 12 of them, of Noah's day compared to nowadays. Noah's day, nowadays. And I'm going to share these. Do your own study. I'm going to give you some scriptures to every one of these. And so you do your own digging. Now, some of these are just direct quotes that I'm going to give you from these scriptures. Others of them, as you study, you're going to have to study a little bit more about the Hebrew word usage or the Greek word usage. And you're very capable of doing that. If you have a computer or have access to a computer, then the fact of the matter is you can become much smarter than any preacher that ever walked into your church. And so you've got access to do your own study. And so let me encourage you. Some of you need to look at some of the Greek background or some of the Hebrew background of these words. And some of it, and I'll highlight these when we get to them, but some of them might have to do with the character of the individuals that I'm going to highlight for you. But basically, I'm just going to show you 12 things, Noah's day, nowadays. Here they are. Number one. People carrying on with their normal daily routine, oblivious to the coming destruction. That's the way it was in Noah's day. How do I know that? Well, fact of the matter is, in Noah's day, you know, it had never, ever rained up to that point. Hadn't rained up to that point. And God said, there's going to be a flood. And Noah probably said something like, really? Well, he was a man of righteousness and he was a man of faith, so he probably didn't question God about that. I would have. Excuse me? And God said, I want you to build an ark. Right. But Noah did what God said. And God said, I need the ark to look like this, and it needs to be this big, and I need you to build it in this way. And you can read that in Scripture. As a matter of fact, that's a good study. I would encourage you to do that. And that's exactly what Noah did. Now, It hadn't ever rained before. And he's building in his backyard what? An ark, a great big ship, a boat. Can you imagine what the men were talking about at the coffee shop every day? About that idiot Noah? Hey, Noah, what are you building? A big boat. Really? But he did it. And he did it for 100 years. He built on that thing. In his own backyard. And the fact of the matter is, his friends and neighbors went by watching him day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, as this thing took shape. And undoubtedly, because we'll see here in a few minutes that he was a preacher of righteousness, and he told the story, and he told what was going on, and he told why he was doing it, and people walked by and gave no attention to the purpose of why Noah was building an ark. And let me tell you something. It is the very same way today, because people are driving by First Baptist Church and they couldn't care less about what is going on here in this auditorium. We got the same thing going on today. People talk about Jesus Christ is coming again. People talk about the end of the world. And very honestly, with some of the things that's going on in this day and age, there are more and more people talking about the end of the world. And there are more and more commentaries on television of people talking about the end of the world by people that aren't religious, people that aren't religionists, people that don't have a church background, but they're still talking about it because I'm telling you, things are unrolling at breakneck speed. And yet, here's what's going on. People are carrying on with normal routine, oblivious to the coming destruction. All right, we're ready for number two. That's fine. Pop it up there. People focused on new ways to enjoy short-term pleasures of sin. Let me give you the scripture verse or the scripture passage for number one, and that's Luke 17. Luke 17. And again, do your own digging. Do your own studying. And the scripture passage for number two, Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. People spent all their time their thoughts, their dreams, focused on finding new ways to enjoy the short-term pleasures of sin. And I'm telling you, my friend, that is rampant in this day and age. People are so focused and hell-bent on finding new ways and new ways of pleasure in the short-term pleasures of sin. Look at Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. We won't have time to read all of these, but look at that one. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, and here's what it says. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the judgments of his heart was only evil continually. And my friend, that's exactly what's going on. We talked last night about television and we talked about all the junk and all the garbage that's pumped into our living room. And you find it everywhere, literally everywhere. And people are doing exactly this. They're focused on new ways to enjoy short-term pleasures of sin. All right, here's number three. People were engulfed in evil thinking, in murders, adultery, fornication, thievery, lying, and blasphemy. Now, if that doesn't describe what you see on the evening news every night, And if that doesn't describe what you read in the newspaper every day, and it's not just around the world, my friend, it's in our culture and it's rampant, it's blatant. Can you believe what's going on in America today? People engulfed in evil thinking, murdering. Just think in the last few weeks how many cops have been murdered in the United States. Adultery, fornication, thievery, lying, blasphemy. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. And Matthew chapter 15, verse 19. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. And Matthew chapter 15, verse 19. All right, here's number 4. Wish we had time to elaborate on all of these. People were gluttonous, overweight, obese, with out-of-control appetites. Welcome to America. People were gluttonous, overweight, obese, with out-of-control appetites. Matthew chapter 24, verse 38. Matthew chapter 24, verse 38. And isn't that the picture of America, especially today? We've got out-of-control appetites. I've been in a lot of countries. And the only country where I see fat people is the United States. And I'm not down on fat people, by the way. I are one. I made a pact with myself one time, and that is that I would never get over 20 pounds overweight. And the reason I did that is because I told you a night or two ago, I'm the baby out of how many? Seven. And all of my brothers and sisters, when we get together, we look like a bunch of weebles. You remember those? Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. And that's what we look like when we get together. And so I made a pact with myself that I would never get over 20 pounds overweight. And in the last several years, I've dropped 20 pounds more than once. And that's no fun. I'd much rather be having a piece of cherry pie like I had last night with ice cream on it. People gluttonous, overweight, with out-of-control appetites. Here's number 5. People were drunkards. Matthew chapter 24, verse 38. People were drunkards. Alcoholism is rampant in America today. Now, let me say to our friends from Celebrate Recovery who are with us tonight, I love you. I work with a group of drug and alcohol addicts in Branson. 250 residential hardcore drug and alcohol addicts. They are some of my best friends. And I work with them. I work with them on a regular basis. I grew up with an alcoholic daddy. And I made a decision when I was a teenager that I would never, never touch alcohol. It had nothing to do with the Bible. I wish I could stand before you tonight as a preacher and say, oh yeah, it was a big spiritual decision. It had nothing to do with that. It just didn't. Had nothing to do with Christianity. Had nothing to do with God. Had nothing to do with Jesus Christ. Had nothing to do with the Bible. Had nothing to do with church. Had everything to do with what I saw alcohol do to a daddy and his family. And I made a decision when I was a young teenager, I'd never touch it. And I had the privilege, when my dad was 79 years of age, to lead him to faith in Jesus Christ. And up until that point, he had been an alcoholic all of my life. Alcoholism. A devastating thing, as so many of you know. And the reality is, as in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the time of the return of Jesus Christ. Here, number six. People had no regard for proper marital relationships. Multiple marriages. Marriage for convenience. Shacking up. And being unfaithful. Luke chapter 17, verse 27. And man, if that's not the story and the picture of our culture, it's amazing. It is amazing. I was visiting with a man that I'd met for the first time, a multimillionaire. And just about 2 months ago, I was having lunch with him and visiting with him. And finding out about his life and finding out about his circumstances. And I said, are you married? And he said, well, I'm divorced. And I said, after a while, he talked about Ann. And I said, who's Ann? And he said, well, she's the lady that... And he paused, and I said, that you're shacking up with? And he looked at me, and he said, well, I don't think I would have said it like that. And I said, you didn't, but I did. So what you doing? Well, we're living together. I said, yeah, shacking up with him. And I proceeded to share with him, as compassionately as I thought I could, the fact that that was a wrong lifestyle. Now, the reality is, our culture today has no receptivity to the way that a marital relationship ought to be handled. I heard just this week a professional statement coming from Tiger Woods, and who was it that he was just, he's been shacking up with who?
Lindsay.
Yeah. And they both told about how they were going their separate ways, and they honored each other and all this stuff. And I'm thinking, why do we glamorize that? They've been shacking up together. Why do we glamorize that? But that's exactly what we do in our American culture. And that, my friend, is exactly the way it was in the culture when of Noah. All right, number next. A time of perversion. A time of perversion. Noah's day was a blatant time of perversion. Perversion spiritually, perversion sexually, and perversion philosophically. Genesis chapter 4. Read that entire chapter. Genesis chapter 4, a time of perversion. Now, folks, if that's not the epitome of what's going on in America today and in our culture especially, it is a time of perversion. And we glamorize that. We glamorize it in Hollywood. We glamorize it on our newscasts. We glamorize it in magazines. We glamorize it in books. A time of perversion. Let me tell you something. If God says that it's perversion, if God says that it's an abomination, it is perversion and it's an abomination. I don't care how satisfying it might be. I don't care how glamorous it might be. And I don't care how mutually accepting it might be. We are living in a day and age of perversion. And it's blatant right before our very eyes. All right, number eight. Number eight. Noah's day was a time of prosperity. A time of prosperity. And I'm telling you, That's the day and age in which we live as well. A time of prosperity. I went to a golf tournament the other day, a professional golf tournament. And some of the older, it was a Legends golf tournament. And some of the older, well-known golfers were there. And I was following along with some of the golfers, and I was standing here on this side of the rope, and I said to my buddy with me, I said, how come those two people get to walk out there in the fairway with those golfers? And he looked at me and he goes, I said, really? He said, you know what it cost them to get to walk behind on that side of the rope, to get to walk behind the golfers? And it was a young couple. And I said, huh? He said, $2,500 apiece just to walk out in the fairway behind the golfers. Now, that's a good little chunk of change to me. Just for the privilege to walk out in the fairway behind the golfers. But my friend, that's the picture of what's going on in our world today. That's the picture of what's going on in America. It is a time of prosperity. Now, here's the passage on that. It's number 8, and it's Genesis chapter 4. And you'll have to study the name of Jabal, J-A-B-A-L. Toward the end of chapter 4, if you'll study that character of Jabal, then you'll discover that this was a time of prosperity. All right, here's number 9. Noah's day was a time of entertainment. A time of entertainment. And wow, isn't that the day and age in which we live? I mean, we entertain ourselves. Matter of fact, we entertain ourselves all the time. We either sitting in front of the tube, or we've got our iPad or our iPod or our iPhone. I bought my wife an Iron. He wasn't that impressed. I said, this will go with your iPad and your iPod and your iPhone. We live in a day and age of entertainment. Our young people have their noses stuck in their iPhone and their iPad and their tablet. Continuously, we live in a day of entertainment. All right, here's number next. What number are we ready for? Number 10. Number 10. Oh, okay, I didn't give you the passage. Genesis 4, and you need to study about Jabal's brother, Jubal. Jabal's brother, Jubal. Study who he was. And the fact that that's an illustration of a time of entertainment. Number 10, Noah's day was a time of amazing progressive development technologically. Isn't that something? Just like it is today. Just like it is today. I am not a technical person. My youngest son talked me into buying an iPhone. A smartphone, and I discovered that I wasn't smart. For the first 2 days of owning that iPhone, I was trying to figure out what size hammer to take to it. And then on about the third day, I was laying on the floor in a fetal position, contemplating suicide. I finally learned how to operate that thing. I'm not technical. My wife told me that she wanted some new software for Christmas, and I bought her lingerie. In Noah's day, it was a time of technological development, just like it is today. Genesis chapter 4, you'll have to study the person of Tubal-Cain. Tubal-Cain. That's a weird name. But it's indicative of the fact that it was a time of progressive technological development. Here's number 11. Noah's day was marked by lust, by disregard for God's will, polygamy, open sin, and perversion. Welcome to the 21st century, my friend. Genesis chapter 4, study the person of Lamech, L-A-M-E-C-H, Lamech. And finally, number 12, Noah's day was characterized by pride. You'll find that in the last couple of verses of Genesis chapter 4, again with the person of Lamech. All right, I've given you 12 things. I wish we had time to elaborate on them. These are blatant, in your face, welcome to the 21st century examples, just like it was in the days of Noah. Let me give you the last 2 points, and I'll give them to you quickly. Number three, the preaching of righteousness. The preaching of righteousness. Now, let me indicate what I believe to be the most precarious spiritual indicator of where we are in this end-time reality show. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. And here's what it says. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. Say that phrase with me. Moved with fear. Prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Now look at 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. And here's what that says. And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, one of 8 people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Now, here are the 2 things, my friend, that we are grossly lacking in this day and age. Those 2 things that we just read about. Noah was moved by fear. And I'm telling you, nobody, maybe I should say almost no one, fears God today. Matter of fact, we live by the motto and we put it on our pickups. No fear. No fear. Well, my friend, the Bible indicates very clearly there ought to be in our lives a fear of God. And Noah was a preacher of righteousness. You know what? You don't hear that much in pulpits today. You don't hear a whole lot of preachers talking about we need to live right. We need to live righteously. God says, be ye holy because I am holy. You don't hear much about holiness today. You don't hear much about righteousness today. But Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And I'm telling you, if the pulpits of our churches in America were once again aflame with righteousness, we would see a gross change take place in America. And we desperately, desperately need that. And we as a people need to come back to learn how to fear God once again. That is grossly lacking in our country and in our culture. Here's the last thing I want you to see. Thanks for your attentiveness tonight. I know this has been long, and I know just giving 12 points takes time. And so thanks for sticking with me with that. Here's the fourth thing, and that is the proper response. Go back to Matthew chapter 24, and let me just show it to you. Once again, Jesus is speaking. So how do we respond to this whole thing? Jesus tells us what the proper response should be. And it's found in verses 39, 42, and 43. 39, 42, and 43. Look at verse 39. And the people knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. You see, that goes back to point number one. People carry on their normal daily routines, oblivious to the coming destruction. And that's the way we're living today. So what should the response be in verse 39? Wake up. Wake up. Say that with me. Wake up. Say it like you mean it. Wake up. Let's say it loud enough for them to hear out there. Wake up. Good. That's what the response should be. America had better wake up. Unsaved people better wake up. Christian people had better wake up. God's given us many alarms and we just keep hitting the snooze button. We need to wake up. And that's what Jesus says. They didn't pay any attention to it until the flood came and it was too late. Verse 42. Therefore watch, for we know not what hour your Lord does come. So we need not only to wake up, but we need to get alert and deal with reality. I've shared reality with you tonight. We need to wake up and we need to get alert and deal with reality in verse 43. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have allowed his house to be broken up. So we need to do something about it. Those are the three responses. Wake up, get alert and deal with reality, and do something about it. If in fact you believe that we're getting to the end of the roll, my friend, we better do something about it. Here it is. Realize the reality. I've been preaching reality to you tonight. Recognize your need. Repent. And return to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. That's what our response should be. That's it. Well, the farmer got up and he went running through the house and he was saying, get up! Get up! It's later than it's ever been before. Let me pray with you. Heavenly Father, these are sobering thoughts. But these are sobering thoughts of reality. So I pray that you would help us, help the church. It's a sleeping giant. Help the church to wake up. Help us, Father, to recognize the reality and to recognize our need and to repent of our sin and to return to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Father, if we really believe that we are living in the last days, I pray that you would prompt us to do something about it in our own lives, and to share with the world about the soon coming return of Jesus. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Hope Chest audio sermon presentation. We invite you to visit our website at www.hereshopeamerica.com for additional audio and video presentations and to contact us if we can be of help to you. We would gladly welcome your partnership with this ministry, as well as welcoming your prayers and the opportunity to pray for you. May God bless you is our prayer. For Here's Hope America, my name is Richard Clare, reminding you, hope has a name, Jesus.